Take your seats. You are going to be blessed today. I want to thank everybody for listening and taking your seats and putting a... Sorry to interrupt you. Just something that Tuvo said. I had some time with the national director of Alpha, and the survey they did with non-church people, 60% said that they would actually come to church if somebody gave them a personal invitation. And so it was just amazing of the hunger that is actually happening within that. So just want to encourage you that people personally want to get invited. When you look at Scripture, people that were personally invited, were brought to Jesus, were God blessed. So welcome back to part two. Where we are at the moment is we are announcing what's going to happen in 2009. I just want to see. Yeah, you're there. I know it's been a long week. I just want to check you. And the reason I'm starting 2019 now is I've looked at some of our prophecies that God's given us as a church, and I've looked at some of the prophecies God's given me individually, and I had a really good laugh at them. You know what? I had a laugh at them just because I'm thinking, this is what God wants to give us, but then I'm looking at, this is what God wants to give us, but doesn't God know where I am now? Because, see, one of the things that the faith that God has given you is faith is activated by audacity. It is not activated in the things that you can do. When the faith that's in you sees something that is audacious, it rises up. So before we start talking about the goals that we're going to have 2019, we need to get prepared for it, okay? What we learned last week was wherever you are going to walk, you have to announce. So when every time God wanted to do something, he announced it. And the announcement always looks ridiculous before it's walked. So when you tell somebody that you're flat broke, I am going to live in an amazing house, I'm going to drive an amazing car, I'm going to have an amazing holiday, and you can't, and you know, when you get, you ring up Uber and you are debating, and you're going, okay, look, you know, it's going to cost $40. How far can you get me on 35? Well, okay, how far 20? See, God always takes us in an impossible situation, and then he says, I want you to go for the impossible. Now watch this. When Adam and Eve sinned, they let in an atmosphere of the impossible. See, in heaven there was never such an atmosphere. So what you have is when Adam sinned, the sin's atmosphere is always impossible. We can't do that. I am not this. I am not that. Now watch this. Go right back to the book of Genesis. God creates Adam, he creates Eve, and he gives them a mandate. And he says, you are to reign and rule in life. I am going to put you on earth. The earth is there for you to reign over, not for the earth to reign over you. So automatically in the mentality of Adam and Eve is I am being put in a possession or position where I am to rule and reign. Now I want you to notice this. He never gave them the rule and reign over each other. It was over the earth. So when people misuse the gospel, wives are to submit. This is God never said, I'm giving you a woman so I can teach you how to rule and reign. Try it. Get married. If you think you can rule and reign over a woman, you really need some serious therapy. If you think you can rule and reign over a person, you need serious therapy. Why does communism always have such a short lifespan? Because you can rule and reign over people for so long, but then something happens. Now watch this. Now, so we're talking about that God is always going to give you something that your faith has to stretch for. God never gives you something that you can just reach out and take it like, oh, look, it's sort of milbar. So what does he do to Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve sin. My question is, as soon as Adam and Eve sin, why did God still leave them alone? When you have a child, as soon as they cry, what do? You die for it. I mean, God, Adam and Eve sin, and God sits back. And so what does Adam do? He goes, I have now stepped into a realm that I have never been before. I am now, it is impossible. So he goes, I've lost something. So what do? They use the fig leaves. What's fig leaves? God did this to Adam and Eve. Try to rule the impossible with your own strength. So the fig leaves represent that God says, you need to learn something. That if you want to move in the impossible, your self-effort cannot take you there. Doesn't matter how good you are, how educated you are, how wealthy you are, how influential you are, you cannot rule the impossible. The impossible is like what Sulve was saying, you got all these limitations. So when he comes to Adam and he says, what have you done? And he goes, it's not me. It was the woman you gave me. What was Adam saying? Adam was saying, listen, it is not my fault that this has happened. And what he's also saying, I cannot rule and reign anymore. So the fig leaves represent that you get to a point and you go, I have tried to do what God's called me to do. See, one of the things that sin never ever took out of our system was to rule and reign. Sin didn't take that away. But what sin did is disconnected you so that you don't rule and reign. What do the fig leaves represent? I've done my best, but watch this. The fig leaves only covered the mistake, but could not rule over the mistake. It's called survival mentality. I've done something wrong, so I hide. So what we have right from the beginning is that there is an essence within us to go for the impossible, but we try with our self-effort, which is the fig leaves. So God waits and he says, Adam, how far did you come using your own self-effort? Well, I've come this far. I can hide and I can blame. So I am hiding my nakedness, and I'm also got a reason why I am here. It's the woman you gave me. What was he doing? He was solidifying. He was making himself, well, the reason I am like this, because now I am limited. The woman you gave me, she did this, so now I can got an excuse while I am the way that I am. What? How come your life is so bad? Well, I have a reason. Why is that so bad? Because I have a reason. But watch this. So God looks at it and says, Adam, Eve, have you come to the point where you go, I can't do this? Hey, this is an awesome place to come to. One of the most amazing places to come to is when you come to yourself and you go, I can't do this. How many of you try to be a really good Christian? And then deep down inside, you go, I can't do this anymore. How many of you, I'm going to become a prayer warrior. I'm going to get up at 4:30 every morning, and I'm going to pray. The only prayer you had was when you put the snooze button on your iPhone. In the name of Jesus. Doop. So they come to the end of themselves. Then the father comes down and he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. The impossible is not ruled by your self-effort. I'm going to take the blood of the lamb. But now watch something significant that we miss sometimes when we read this. They had to remove their fig leaves to put on what the lamb had brought. What did not happen was this. Is that keep your fig leaves on and just put another garment on. What they had to do was to take the fig leaves off and have a reality check and go, I'm naked. I've lost what I've got. But when I remove the fig leaves, I have the produce of the Lamb. You're very quiet. Because you know what we do in Christianity? We add. You know, one of the things, if you ever travel to Europe or a cold country, the key is layers. You just don't have one jacket, you have 25. You know, if it's 20 degrees minus, you know what you do? Thermal underwear. Then you have a t-shirt, then a jumper, then a coat, then a hot water bottle, right? Whatever. And then if you get hot, you take it over. But what Adam and Eve had to do, we've got a choice now. I can rule in my limited capacity with the fig leaves that is around me. Or I have to become conscious. I have to have a reality check saying the fig leaves don't work. The reason they do not work because, Father, you've come down and you have found fault with us. So therefore, I can't hide that. But God says, I didn't leave you like that. So here's the Lamb. Take it off. So what we have is this, is that whatever God wants you to have, you haven't got the stuff within you. So God gives us amazing promises, but we don't know how to get there. See, what happens is this. I've just looked at the time. In Genesis 18, we have I want to just show you. There is a condemning spirit that comes against your faith, and it says this. You could have that, but you haven't got the faith. You'd be further along in life if you had the faith. You get to the point where when you're kind of thinking, right, if I had the faith, I would not have this problem. If I had the faith, none of this would happen, none of this would happen, none of this would happen. So what we have when we're going for the promises of God, God comes to a man called Abraham and Sarah. But when he comes to them, they are fit, they are healthy. The only thing they can't do is have a baby. But he comes and he gives them the promise that you are going to have a baby. Now, I want you to notice this. He doesn't ask him, Sarah, Abraham, have you got the faith for this promise? He gives him the promise. So what you have is we need to flip this around because 2019 is going to be our best year ever. It's going to be your best year ever. But see, God doesn't go, what's the level of your faith? Here's the level of my promise. I will give you promises to the level of your faith. See, faith is not like your money. Money, you want to buy a house, you go to the bank tells you your ceiling. What do you earn? What does your wife earn? What is your capacity? How much do you spend on this? How much do you spend on that? What? And then he says, now your promise is $200,000 because of your income. What God does, he doesn't talk to you about what you can afford. He says, what can I give you? So what we do is we dream according to the level of faith that we perceive we have. Every time God comes to a man or a woman in the Bible, he gives them something so out of the ballpark. Comes to David, you're going to be a king. Excuse moi, I'm the least in my family. I am a little shepherd boy. My dad doesn't even think I'm worthwhile to call me home when you're here. And goes, you're going to be a king. See, God doesn't insult us. He invites us. Now, when you start looking at Abraham, Sarah is fit. Abraham is fit. God gives him a promise. You'd think that in 9 months after the promise, they would have a baby. But 20 years go by, God comes to them again. You'll find this, you're going to read this afternoon, aren't you? See, in Genesis 18, guess what happens? I want to show you the woman of faith. She is overhearing The Bible says that Abraham is sitting outside the tent because it's really hot. And three men come that represent the Godhead. And they come and God starts to speak to Abraham, you're going to have a baby. Do you know what Sarah did? She didn't go, yes, there is a God. Hallelujah. My faith is. She laughed. You know what she said? I never knew God had a sense of humor. Hey, you know, that's funny, God. Ha ha. She goes, come on. I have lost the period of time where a woman can conceive. While I had the time limit where my body could function according to the promise, I could have, there was possibility of the promise to come. But I am of age, and she looks at Abraham, and he goes, don't look at me like that. You're of age. You know, you didn't stay in trends. You know, you didn't go, wow, I'm youthfully young forever. And I'm, when we're walking down the street, people aren't going, oh, hey, Abe, how's your grandma? So you get there, and you know what? She laughed at God. If you were God, what would you do to Sarah? You think you would go, he's the promise. And she goes, that's a joke. She laughed. And then, guess what? She does the same thing as Eve and Adam did. And God says to her, goes, why did you laugh? I didn't laugh. So now, right, she laughs at God. She lies directly to his face. You would think that God would do this. Okay, you don't want the child? You don't want to go in the lineage? Let's find somebody else. I'm done with you. You laughed at me. And then you lied. I would get ticked off. But you know, guess what? God says, your laughter at the promises doesn't turn me off. Nor does your lying. Because what God says, I gave you a promise, but you've missed it. You think that I have to help God to fulfill my promise. Eve, you introduced the fig leaves. I introduced the covering of blood. And people throughout generations now have a choice. I can choose the fig leaves, which is my self-effort. And that's what she says. What does she say? I am of age. I have passed it. You know, some of us, you know, you look at some of the promises that God's given you and you go, that would have been great when I was 20. God doesn't understand. I'm 155 years old this week. So we go time. But I want you to understand something really clearly here. The promises of God haven't got a use by date on them. So God doesn't say, I give you this promise, you've got 24 hours. Because it expires. So he comes up to Abraham and Sarah and he does this. And he goes, Sarah, you're going to have a baby because I said so. Because I am not leaving you. Because for this promise to come, you need me. You need to depend on me. You know what he was saying to Sarah? Sarah, I know you got issues. I know you got doubts. I know you got that. But I am not leaving you because of your doubt. I am attracted to your doubts. I've always been taught that God is attracted to faith. But I tell you what God's attracted to is doubts. Because God's not scared of doubts. God says, you got doubts? That's fine. I can change your doubts into faith. You're very quiet. The reason we need to do this is God is going to take this church. God is going to take your life and he's going to make you audacious. Think about what he did. He goes to 12 disciples. They lose one and he says, now I want you to take the world over. Jesus, we've never gone out of Judea. And he goes, Jesus, you really don't get it. We are fishermen. No one believes in us. We have to hide. And you said that you want us to take this gospel all around the globe. Not only do I want you to disciple people, I want you to disciple nations. And he goes, wow, that's... But see, here's the thing. Every promise of God insults your natural ability because it always takes it further than your ability can take you. So we get hemmed in. Now, I want to show you something that I have not seen until the last couple of weeks, where I got to a point of saying, God, I tried to do this and it hasn't worked. God, I tried this and it hasn't worked. God, I pressed, but I haven't moved. God, I took one step forward and I find myself 10 steps back. You get to a point when you're thinking, what's wrong with my faith? What's this and what's this? So what I love about Sarah is that she laughed at God, she lied to God, but she's a woman of faith. She came to a point because of, watch this, when God comes to be with you and you do not walk away, you will be washed of your doubts. That's why we go after the presence, not after a feeling. Every time you get into worship, you feel the presence of God, means that He is cleansing you and imparting to you. He's not cleansing you of your sin. What He's cleansing you is of the impossibility thoughts that you have in your life. So when God says you can have a great marriage, but look at my... No, God says it is what I say, and I am going to stand by you until the fulfillment of the promise. So God never leaves. Now, I want to show you this really quickly. In Mark chapter 1, watch this. When you start to see this all the way through Scripture, God comes up and He says this, right? You haven't got it, but I am not going to reject you. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Now look at this. Now a leper came to Him, imploring Him, kneeling down to Him and saying to Him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now watch this. When you read through Scripture, how many times do you find that Jesus is walking through a crowd and people are touching Him and they're getting whole, they're making whole? You get the centurion, right? He comes up to Jesus and he says, my servant is at home, paralyzed, sick. And what does Jesus say? I will come and heal him. He goes, there's no need to that, just speak the word. And he says, oh man of great faith. We've preached on that. I preach on it and we need to preach on it. But we also need to preach when somebody comes up and goes, God, I don't know whether you want to. Watch what he does, right? He goes, I know something about you. I know that you have the power to bring me out of the situation I am in. But I don't know whether you want to. And I want you to get this right. Wouldn't it, if we take some of the theology that we've been given about Jesus, you would say this. I want you to do, let's call him Ted, okay? Ted, I need you to go home now. I need you to read your scripture. I need you to keep quoting it. I need you to put worship music on. And I need you not to have any interaction with anybody else for you to watch yourself, saturate yourself. And when your faith level has come up, come back and see me. You okay? Because all of us get there. And you see, you know what the devil does? He uses his condemnation. You know, you see, you haven't got the faith. You've just upset Jesus. You can't please God because you haven't got faith. This man comes to him and he says, Jesus, I am incomplete. I know that you can. Wow. You know what I've really felt was praying this morning? And God says, what an amazing start. What an amazing start for you to lock in to do this. I know what God's capable of. Think about your situation. Is there a passage in Scripture where your situation is as bad as it is and it comes through? You know what he was saying to God? God, I know you can. That's where faith starts. See, faith has to have a starting point. And faith says, I know the ability of God. But then he says this, I don't know that you want to. Wow. Now, Jesus doesn't send him away, but guess what? When Jesus will always complete your incompleteness. So you come to God, and whatever your problem might be, whatever it is, and you go, God, I know that you will that you are a provider. The problem I have is I am in lack. I am always desperate. I don't know whether you want to bless me like you blessed Abraham. I don't know whether you want to bless me like the person in front of me. I just don't know. So I'm here and I am double guessing myself. Maybe you will, maybe you not. And what I love about this passage of scripture is that it doesn't deter Jesus. Jesus doesn't go, you know what? I am so sick and tired of hanging around people that double guess me. Man, when are you God? You know, listen, go away. Nice to see you, now go away. Come back another day. Come back when you're positive. Come back when you're this. See, I will always want, you know when you want to, when you want somebody to like you, you will always say the things that they want to hear. You know, your boss comes in, hey, boy, you look young today. Wow, you've been working out? Yeah. Wow, hey, thank you. You see, God wants a little bit of honesty. But see, it's honesty in the context of presence. It's not honesty outside of the presence. Where did Sarah laugh? She laughed in the presence of God. Where did this man express his doubt? In the presence of Jesus. So here you have that Jesus now, if you were an observer and you had some of the mentality, some of the books that we have, you would go, oh man, he's not going to get it. I think that one will. But God says to him, you know what? I am the author of your faith. So the faith that you are expressing, that in my ability, I am going to now extend to my availability. So what he does is this. Now, watch this. Why would God give us a promise that is beyond us? Because when we start talking about the ability of God, as we were mentioning, there are 8,850 promises in the Word of God. Why would a loving Father give them to you and then see you frustrated? One of the things that's happening in my life now, I'm just saying, God, you need to complete my faith. There are things that I can do, I can believe for, but then there are other things where God says, I want you to stretch it. So what does he do to this guy? He goes, hey, you haven't got the faith to do it. See, let's just quickly. There's a man in the Bible, his son is demonized, and he brings his son to the disciples to cast the spirit out. And he does this. I have a son, and there's a spirit inside of him. It throws him into the fire, and it throws him into the water to drown him. He's got a suicidal spirit on him. It's not the boy's fault. He has this spirit, and I can't do anymore. So what have I done? I brought them, so to him, to the disciples. The disciples had a go, and it didn't work. How many times have you been prayed for by somebody, and you said, somebody prayed for me, it didn't work, and you give up? Hello? Somebody's come up and go, hey, you come, hey, man, I'm a healing evangelist. He prays for you. He goes, nothing happened. Oh, well, maybe God doesn't want it. I love this father. He says, I got the people that represent you can't do it. I'm going to take my son to the source. Self-effort. And he comes to him, and then he does this. Jesus, help me in my strength. He goes, help me in my unbelief, because Jesus, I'm double guessing you right now. Jesus, I'm not sure. Jesus, I don't know. So, and you think in the same situation, there is the man, he is in desperate need. The disciples go, we can't help you. Brings him to Jesus, and then he tells the master of the universe, I'm double guessing you. And I love Jesus. Jesus just sits there and he goes, if you think that troubles me, man, you should see Ted Fabiani. So what does he do? He says, I've got an impossible situation and I haven't got the faith for the situation, but I know that you deliver people from this. And so what does, I want you to see what Jesus does. He bisteps his faith and he heals the son, and in turn, his faith is raised up by the miracle. So the faith of the man has now been elevated is because Jesus comes to him and he says, I know you can't do this, but I am going to raise your faith to the level of the miracle. So he bisteps him and he says, now watch, let me show you how I deal with unbelief. I deal it with a miracle. How many of you ever received anything from God and you know that you didn't ask for or had the faith for? How many are doing a Sarah right now? No. See, I'll have the worship team to come up, please. We're going to go after some audacious goals 2019. Because audacious goals need audacious faith. So if we set low goals, God says, I'm not interested. So what God's going to do, and he's speaking to me, and I'm going to share with you in 2019. But I need you to get prepared, because sometimes people go, why are we aiming so high? The reason we are aiming so high is because God wants to extend our faith. Now watch something here very carefully. Your faith is not a rubber band. So any time that God moves your faith, you never go back to the way you were. So what God does when he puts something in front of you, he says, I'm going to stretch your faith. It's in that stretching where you deal with the unbelief. It's in that stretching and you deal, who am I that God should do this to? So what you find all the way through Scripture, we're going to deal with, next week we're going to talk about Lazarus, because, man, Jesus comes into a whole pit of unbelief and he says, I am not going to come to the atmosphere that you brought me into. I'm going to take you up. So for your life, don't dismiss your promises because your faith is not at the level. So what he does, he says, what I want you to do is I want you to stay in my presence. And I want you to notice when in Mark, when that man came, he knelt before him. So what he did was this. He knelt down. What was he doing by kneeling down? It's a receiving position. He goes, I don't know whether you want to, but I am not going to double guess you. I am going to let you answer the question. Can I just say this to you as your father in God? Stop answering for God. Stop it. I want you to notice this. He says to the father, he goes, I don't know. Well, what he did was, after he said, I don't know, he shut up. Why? Because he says, this is my limit. You're the only one that can answer this question for me. Now, I want you to notice something. When you come to a loving God, he says, I'm not going to turn you away. And God doesn't do this. You haven't got the faith, so you're going to have to suffer. But God says, even though you haven't got the faith, I came to reduce and remove the suffering. So I'm going to bypass your unbelief because I came to heal you. Do you realize how many people Jesus healed that didn't believe? This is just a starting point, okay? So look at your life. What are you going after, but you haven't got the faith for and you've given up? You good? Because God's called us to be unreasonable in the things of God. Some of you are suffering needlessly because you think the reason this hasn't happened is because of me, because of me. And God says, don't take me out of the equation. See, I'm so worked up in this because I for the first time in my born-again experience this week, I saw that Jesus never ran from people with unbelief. He met them, and I'm going, wow. For me, it is like, man, I got so much junk in my life. Because you know what I realized? Is when I come to Jesus and I go, it's unbelief, it's about me, it's about me. But God says, Ted, it's not about you, it's about me. It's about me. It's what I want to do. If I go into this unbelief, it's about Ted. It's about my unbelief. It's about my limitation. It's about me. It's about me. And God says, I can't overstep you because you're pushing me back. You're pushing me back. God says, just come to me honestly. And you're going, God, I know you can. I just don't know that you want to. You good? Because God's, if you're not in the problem, one day you're going to step into a problem. One day you'll step into something and you go, I haven't got the faith for. And so what do? We go into self-effort. How do I build my faith? How do I? God says, it's not about you. See, what he did to the man, he says, the miracle I do for you will increase your faith. There are times where you can go to Jesus afterwards and go, I know you're going to do this. God says, great. But you've got to have a starting point. Can I just say this? Some of you, give yourself a bit of a break. The same spirit that condemns you about the past that isn't there is the same spirit that condemns you about your faith. The reason, see, you doubted. You really don't believe. How in the world is God going to do that for you? You know what? Why don't we come into divine honesty? Now listen to me carefully. Divine honesty in the presence never leaves you in the situation you come to. So what does this man come? He says, Jesus, I'm coming into your presence and I have unbelief in the area of that you really want me. And God says, great. And he doesn't leave you. And he goes, you see that man over there? When he knows something better, bring him up. God says, how can I turn my back on you? For me, it's like this. If Sule comes to me with a problem, I'm in your presence, and I can help, but she's kind of, I don't know whether Ted wants to. I don't do this. Walk away. See, one of the things we've got to do, that God says, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Right now, in the midst of your doubt, guess who's there? Jesus. And what's he going to do? He's not going to patronize you and go, hey, you know what? If you had the miracle, if you had the faith, you could have that. If you had the faith, you would have that position. If you had the faith, that relationship would be different. If you had, but you don't, ha, ha, ha. God says this, I started it, I will finish it. Ladies and gentlemen, family, I can't finish my faith, only Jesus can. So what do? I come and bring my incomplete faith and I go, God, this is where I am. Please take over. Please take over. Please take over. We are going to go into a season where God's going to take you to levels you've never been before. God's going to move you. God's going to do something. If you knew what God has in store for you. But we get scared. Well, who are we? Who is Faith Life that God's going to give us global influence? I don't know. But there is a faith within this house that needs a stirring. There is a faith in you that says, I can't, but I know that I will. I am going to go to my papa and I go, God, I am incomplete. Complete me. So you know what? It's not about your ability. It's not how hard you can pray. God says, what I start, I finish. You can get excited if you want. So what you do? So this is what we do. 2019 is going to be different. The only reason it's going to be different is because we're looking at this is who we are right now. But we're taking what we are right now and doing this. Jesus says to the 12 disciples, I want you to feed 5,000 men plus women. I want you to feed 20,000 people. We can't. That's okay. But I'm still in the equation. I'm still in the equation. Please, please, please. Hear my heart today. You might be doubting, but God is still in the equation. You might go, I don't know whether God wants it. God says, I'm still in the equation. God, I have sinned. I am still in the equation. I've left you. I'm still in the equation. God says this, I never step out of your realm. So what do we do? First of all, my assignment today is to remove some guilt from you. This morning while praying, I said to my dad, because to me this is new, okay? To me it's actually new because I am taking longer because I need this, okay? This is for you, okay? It's because we've got this picture of Jesus that says, unless you've got the faith, I am not going to touch you. And God says, look, Ted, you're so wrong. I will touch you so that your faith can increase. I always thought that when God does a miracle, it's a response to my faith. Yes, and yes, and yes. But he comes to Sarah, and Sarah looks at God, and she laughs at him. Why is she laughing? She goes, God, I haven't got it. God, you don't get it, God. Let me give it to you. Look at my body. Look at Abraham. Past it. And God says, you know what? If I step out of the equation, then you're past it. But because I am in the equation, you don't. I'm sort of having a mini revival in my spirit, okay? Because I always thought that God is offended because my lack of faith. I thought that God would have a lower opinion of me because of my faith. But now I just realized, if I could just be honest, and because God knows my heart. Hey, church, God knows your heart. So you go, God, I want this, but I haven't got the faith. God says, come on, let's get to it. Why don't you stand with me? Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, some of you feel guilty because you think, I should be further than I am right now. I've missed opportunities. If I had the faith, if I had. But what we want to do is relieve us. We need to get rid of the fig leaves. Fig leaves represent self-effort. I'm trying. God, I am tired of trying. God, I am exhausted. God says, good. Why don't we take the garment of praise and a garment of righteousness for the spirit of heaviness? God loves you. God's not intimidated because of you got doubts. God's not intimidated that he's saying, hey, you haven't got it. God says, I'm going to do you a miracle despite you. I am going to bless you even though you don't believe it. I am going to increase your faith by my doing. So right now, I want just to let that guilt go. That guilt that I should be. That guilt of heaviness that says I haven't got the faith. That I feel guilty. I feel guilty. I feel guilty. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, just wash us of all the guilt that we think that because we haven't got faith. Father, right now, I just pray that every person in this room would have the sense that God is in my equation. He's in my equation. He's not leaving. He's not telling me you should be. He's not saying, man, what, how long, you know, I am so ticked off at you. He's saying, I gave you the faith. God, I know that you can. I just don't know whether you want to. Father, I know that you can save my child. Father, I've got this disease. I know that you're a healer. God, I have this relationship issues. I know that you're a restorer. God, I have a financial need. I know you're a provider. But Father, today, we come to you with incompleteness. And we're saying to you, Father, do it again. As you did to this man, do it to me again. Father, as you did it to the man with a demoniac son, that Father, do it again. Father, for those of us that have gone to people for prayer, it seems like nothing has happened. Father, come, do it again. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are on this journey because of you. We are on this journey because you called us. We are on this journey is because you gave us the promises. Father, in our level of faith right now, Father, we let you in. You're with me right now. Right now. Father, every situation, every household, every job, every problem, you will never leave. No matter what I've done, just let the Holy Spirit now touch you. He's here right now. There's an anointing here right now to shift. Father, I just want to let you know that you have this great promise, but I am struggling to believe. God, there are times that I believe and then there's times I don't know. But Father, I am not backing away. Father, I am coming in your presence and I'm not walking away because you're not walking away. And I'm going to be in your presence. I'm going to be in your presence. And God, let your presence now wash over me. Let your presence wash over me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, do miracles in our houses, in our marriages, in our body, in our finances. Father, whatever, we are inviting the miracle worker. We're inviting the Holy Ghost. We are inviting the presence of God. Come on, just worship Him right now. Worship Him right now. He's here right now. He's with you. He's right next to you. He's in you. He has not left. He has not left. You haven't offended Him. You haven't offended Him. He loves you. He loves you. Father, right now, minister healing, deliverance. Holy Spirit, we adore you. Father, we adore you. Father, help me in my unbelief. God, help me to all those things that I don't get. Father, help me to realize that how much you love me. Father, we just break the spirit of condemnation so that we can go after all the promises. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Father, and now we need to activate this. And the way we activate this is a spirit of expectation. I'm going to expect to have what I had doubts over. I want you to now to get a spirit of expectation. And can I just look at me for 1 second? It's not about your self-effort. It's not about how much you've given this morning. It's got nothing to do with you. It's all got to do with Jesus. So I want you to do this. I want you to go after stuff you're not qualified for. I want you to go to, for promises that you... go to places where you haven't sown and ask God for a harvest. Go to places where you go, I can't do this. God says, that's the best spot in the world. The best spot in the world is when you go to your self-effort and you go, I can't do this. And God says, that's when my Spirit comes and energizes you. That's when my Spirit comes and lifts you. That's when my Spirit comes and gives you dreams. That's when my Spirit takes you from level to level to level. See, when I come, God says, I want to do it on my own. Do it. But when I come and I go, God, from today onward, it's about you. Everyone, just lift up your hands the last time. Father, take us as a church to places we've never been before. Father, places that we thought there's no way we can go there. Take us there. But Father, take us individually to heights that we haven't been before. Father, the things we thought we can't do. Father, take us there. God, we want to reign over the impossible. Father, we want to reign over the impossible. In Jesus' name. Okay, put your hands down. Some of you, I'm hearing this in the Spirit, but I need a guarantee. I need some kind of a guarantee. This is your guarantee. I want you to take this into your heart. What's the guarantee? Is this. It doesn't matter how hard you could have tried, you could never be born again. See, the guarantee in the spirit realm is when things come against you, you're not this, you haven't got that. You know what you do? And you go, hey, I received the greatest gift of all, and I could have never done it without the Holy Spirit. So here we are. We're born again. We receive the greatest gift without our personal effort. All we did was we let the Holy Spirit deal with us. And when we made the choice, we says, I receive. God did this. I want you now to elevate your salvation. Because if you have already received the greatest gift, so when this guilt of condemnation says, look at you, but hey, I'm saved. Hey, I'm born again. Your guarantee is your salvation. Father, I just pray that this week we'll have an amazing week. Father, I thank you that this week there are promotions going to happen. God, there's financial breakthroughs that are going to happen. Father, God, there's situations are going to change. Father, because we're stepping into a new realm where you are so involved and you will not ever, ever leave us. So Father, with that expectation, with that joy, that you're not scared of our doubts, you're not scared of this, but you are enjoying us, you are with us, you are for us, you are gunning for us, you are exploding over us. So Father, we release the power of the living God in Jesus' name.